Is there more to midlife than just getting through it? Absolutely. Welcome. I'm your host, Debbie Cunningham, jazz artist turned midlife mentor, and I'm here to say to you loud and clear, it's time for your midlife crescendo. Hey friend, happy new year to you. It's January 2024, and I personally am so excited to start a new year with all of you. The last few years have taken their toll on many of us, including me, and I'm looking forward to something new. Speaking of something new, today's episode is all about stepping out of your comfort zone, finding your voice midlife, and being courageous to do new things. But before we dive into the episode, how are you feeling in this new year? Do you have dreams and goals stirring in your heart for this to finally be the year that you do that thing you've always wanted to do for so long? Starting that business from your hobby, writing that book you've been talking about, reinventing yourself into a whole new career, or finally taking that dream trip you've always wanted to take? January's all about dreaming about this new year and setting goals. And I want to help you make that happen. If that's you, I have a free resource I want to give you. 4 keys to launch your dream. These are the 4 steps I took to go from a stay-at-home mom to a jazz recording artist when I was 40 years old. And if you are even thinking about trying to start a new thing and you just need help getting started, go to debbiecunningham.net/podcast and you'll find the link to download it there. Okay, now on with the show. Hey, everybody. Today on Midlife Crescendo, we are talking about how to step out of your comfort zone in midlife, finding your voice and the courage to do new things. And our guest today is Kristen Fitch. I'm so glad to have you, Kristen.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I love this topic and I love talking about it because I think it's encouraging both to those of us having the conversation and so many other women that will listen to this. And I hope it gives them that little push that they need to do even more great things in their lives.
Okay, I'm going to read your bio so our audience knows a little bit more about you. Kristen is a Christian life and business mentor, joy cultivator, podcaster, and faith-led entrepreneur. She encourages you to create a life filled with more gratitude, peace, joy, and faith. She shares her passion, lessons learned, and perspective on creating a life we love and how we can transform our lives around what truly matters to us on her podcast and through her courses for women. She's been married for over 24 years and has 3 high school and college age sons living in Virginia Beach, Virginia. She also is the podcast host of 2 top 5% podcasts, Building a Life You Love and Faith-Fueled Women. Both of those I've listened to and I love them. And I love you, Kristen, because we've been friends for a few years now. And I will say that you do encourage joy and passion and life filled with peace and joy and gratitude. And I love that about you.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me on, Debbie.
Listen, so tell me something, though, and tell our audience something that is not on your bio. I want to know an interesting fact that maybe I don't even know after knowing you for a few years that you'd like to share about yourself or your life, a job you've had, anything you could think of.
Yeah, so maybe 2 things. I'll start with a recent one and maybe go back to a short, you know, just little tidbit. The first is that I had bought my podcast microphone 5 years prior to starting my podcast. So I knew that I wanted to do it, but that podcast microphone sat on my desk for 5 years. So the reason I bring that up is because I think a lot of people think, well, gosh, you're doing this and Debbie has a podcast. I could never do that. But the honest truth is a lot of us had something on our hearts for some time and it doesn't just happen for any of us instantaneously. It takes time. And for me, my work situation or working for myself had changed. And so I had to put it on pause, I felt. But then I, you know, finally got to a place where I felt like I could do that, you know, with my working for myself again. And so I did. But even when I was, you know, in my young career days, you know, I did lots of different jobs when I was in college and graduate school. And then I first started working. But I remember one of the first jobs I was working for a specialty food company, but I was doing more of I was underneath the manager, kind of the second in charge. And so I had all different jobs, but I ended up helping work on their e-commerce website with a company. So I ended up after that experience going and working for the media company. But the point is, I had never done that before. My college degree was actually in political science and international relations. But most of my career prior to what I'm doing now was in online marketing and online e-commerce. And so I think my point is, most of our lives are not straight paths. They take lots of twists and turns, but we have to be open to these new experiences. And the way we're open to them is that we take that fear or that worry and say, but what could this be? Instead of worrying about, can I do this?
I love that. I love that about you. And I don't think I knew all of that. I knew part of it, the story, yeah. But I didn't know all of that. That's very cool. And it is true that, I mean, life and success is this winding, crazy path that you think it's going to be a straight line, and it never is. It's right. One thing leads to another that leads to a detour that leads to where you're supposed to be in the beginning anyway.
Yes.
So it's really, really true. Well, I know you talk a lot about curating our lives around what truly matters to us. And I think we get to this point midlife and we realize that our schedule is filled with many things that are other people's priorities, but I don't always think we know how to change that. Mm-hmm. Now, why is paying attention to this so important?
Yeah, well, I think the thing is as we get older, and especially in midlife, we start realizing that this life, we've built this life, and there's lots of great parts of it. But there's also parts that we realize we've kind of held on to, but even as our seasons change, we're still obligated to some things. Maybe we volunteer in a role, or we have a job, or, you know, we're not really doing things that excite us. But the reason for that is because we've gotten stuck in something. And instead of assessing, you know, maybe every season or every year or every couple of years, you know, what do I have in my life? What's in my schedule? And which of these things, you know, I always say, which of these things are life-giving? Which of these things are life-draining? You know, or you can say energy drainers or energy givers. But if we don't look at that and then compare it against what are our priorities and our values in our life now, today, because they're probably different than when we were 20 or 30. And right. So if we look at our priorities and values, which first we have to be clear on what those are. So we have to write them down if we've never done that. And then compare them against our schedule and say, what can I say no to? You know, what are the things can I prune? You know, even the Bible talks about pruning. We have to prune things. And then we also have to say, which things should I welcome in? Because they'd really be life-giving to me. And I'm ready for this new thing, or I have a little more time now for something that I've kind of put on pause.
Yeah, I for sure. And I think saying no is such a hard thing for women.
Yes.
And I think if we've been in a habit of saying no, it makes it even harder mm-hmm. at this point in our lives. And we start to, we may have had a trajectory of if we have children, we've raised our children, or they might be getting older, getting ready to be empty nested. And we kind of are looking around going, I've always done these things this way, but I don't really have to say no anymore or to say yes to new things. And that is something I want to talk about next. What caused you personally to make this shift in your life? What was not working, or what did you notice that made you go, I need to change the way I'm living so that I can curate a life that I love?
Yeah. You know, so because off and on, I had worked in sort of that online technology, online marketing space, and I'm really good at it, but it's much like that book, Zone of Genius. It's my zone of excellence, but it's not my zone of genius, right? I'm good at it, but it eventually can be draining, right? Because the work is just that way. And so over the years, and then I also had run my own business. One of them I co-founded with my mom, Siggity Zoom. And the thing about that was, is yes, I loved it because we were doing our own thing. It was really creative. But over time, I kept feeling this pull, right? This desire within me to do more work that I always knew I was an encouraging, like somebody that encouraged people. People would always come to me in my personal life and in work life and ask me for advice. And they would always, you know, have these conversations with me, and they would trust the things I would tell them. And so I had done some writing in that way. And I just kept feeling more and more drawn that way. And I felt very splintered in my life. I felt like I have this business over here that's fine, but it doesn't fully fulfill me. I've done this, you know, consulting in the online space. I had all these things, and it felt like, how do I bring all of it together? But what the true thing was, my true north was really that all of it, in what I feel like God was telling me, is I really was being called to be in this space where I'm creating encouraging, faith-based, inspiring content in the world, and that's what I needed to move towards, no matter what that meant that I had to kind of pause or push away from my life. You know, even if that meant temporarily, I had to take pay cuts or lower my salary. I knew that I was being called to be in that space.
Yeah. And since you've done that, do you feel like you have found more joy? And how has that transformed your life to move into that direction?
Yeah, I think so many things. I mean, even from working in the online tech area, I've worked with a lot of men in that space, right? There's a lot more men in that space. And I never had an issue with that. That's great. But the challenge was, is I think even having a business with my mom, we were, you know, a national website, early education website. And while we did well for a smaller company, I mean, as far as the audience size, we always thought we were competing with Disney's and Family Fun. But because of that, I continued to remember, this was quite some time ago, not like what we hear now. And I think we kept trying to seem big, or I kept trying to fit in, instead of realizing that each of us has these special gifts and we're meant to stand out, right? Or be different. And so it took me a long time to understand that and actually live that. And so the more that I started doing that, trying to be my most truly authentic self in the way God created me, the more I did that in all parts of my life, the more at ease and peace I felt. And the more that I realized God designed us to live at a slower pace, more intentional. And yet we speed through our days and we get so frenzied. And so over time, I was able to continue to curate my life for the things that I know matter most and let go of the things that really weren't aligned with the way that I wanted to live, you know, each day, and the things that are important to me, like family and faith and doing work that I think, you know, has purpose and leaves a legacy.
I absolutely agree with that. I absolutely agree that it's so important for us to kind of slow down, take stock, take perspective on what really matters to us, gaining those priorities, being able to cultivate those priorities in our life. But you're right, our world is speeding by. And I actually lived in Philadelphia for a few years, and it's like, man, if you don't get on that subway, you are going to miss the bus. You're going to miss the train, and you got to be quick and you got to move. You got to get in and get so you can get where you're going. And there is no time for lollygagging there. But I think that it's really, really important and also very difficult at times to be intentional to slow down. Mm-hmm. So it takes courage to make a shift like this when we're used to just doing what everybody else is doing, right? You know, even me in my music career and everything, I didn't even become a jazz artist until I was 40. Right. But that took a huge step of courage. And I know your changes have taken courage to step away from even, okay, this thing over here, I'm good at, and it makes money, mm-hmm. but it is soul draining to me. So tell me a little bit more about how you found the courage to make those shifts. I mean, did you communicate to your husband about those things? What other things in your family, your friendship circles, is there any of those things that you had to have hard conversations, or what steps you took to have courage to step out and make those changes?
Yeah. So I think first, and then I will come up to a conversation piece of it. But I think first it was that I had to, it's small steps, right? And so this is whether you want to make a change, you want to go towards a dream, you want to change your career. So it's for anything, but it's what's something small that I can do to move towards it. And that could just be going and doing research. That could be going and just reading about something. It could be going and being inspired by someone that's in that profession or in that has that dream, but they're ahead of you. So for me, I think the first things were continuing to do little things like continue to read Christian encouragers or people, you know, people that wrote that I really enjoyed the reading. So I had to keep filling myself up with things that encouraged me and got me excited. Right. And then do little things like I would do small writing, whether I ever shared it or I had it on a blog at the time that I had, but I would try to do things that made me feel like I was moving towards that, even if I wasn't publishing it at that point. So there was those little things. So first it's, you have to take action in some way, and it can be tiny. It can literally be like going and buying yourself a pen if you want to write, or write. It can be anything. It's just something small that you're moving towards that idea or that dream. But absolutely. So not when I was in so much the Well, no, in the last career position I was in, because I've had my own business off and on over the years, but I was online technology director of a company, a smaller company. And I knew after a year that I really never intended this to be a long-term move. I just took it. It was an old colleague of mine that had invited me to the company. I ended up taking the job. Instead of as a consultant, they asked me to be a full-time employee. And so I did it. And so after a year, I knew like, okay, this isn't for me for long term, but I'm not necessarily going to leave right now. So it was probably at least a year and a half in, maybe it was 2 years. And I finally got the courage to talk to my husband about it, because I knew for a while, I was like, this isn't going to work. But I also knew it was a really nice, you know, very nice
paycheck, right?
And so, yeah. Right. That just comes because I'm showing up every day to do the work. And so anyways, I finally, you know, talked to my husband. It was actually around the holidays. It might've been 2 years ago. And I sort of talked to him about it. And it's like, you know, here's kind of what I'm thinking is maybe I can just work for them a limited hours per week as a contractor so that I can then step out doing my own stuff again, because that's really what I wanted to do. And so we talked about it, and he liked that idea that I would still then have some income from that client, maybe get another one and be able to move into this work. So, but yes, it took me months and months to get the courage up. I kept thinking I was going to tell him and talk about it, you know, and then the timing would just be wrong. And there's probably never any wrong time,
yeah,
but that's
right?
How it feels, right? When like he gets yeah. home from his work or doing something, and you're like, okay, we'll sit down, and then something would come up, right? With the kids or whatever it was. So yeah, I mean, it can be hard to have those conversations, but you know, of course we have to have them at some point. If you're making a huge shift in your, you know, somebody that's married or you have
right,
to live with someone
exactly.
else. So, you know, but it was so worth it because I did it. And of course he'd still like the progress maybe in the financial side to be even greater at the moment, but he knows that I continue to also look for, additional opportunities that would allow me to keep growing this business, but also be bringing in income as well. And so, you know, we do have those touch points on occasion as well at this point.
Finding your voice midlife, you know, can be a little tricky. And I think that oftentimes because it doesn't matter if you're married or single, you know, wherever you are in your life, divorced, widowed, you have things that you've always done in a particular manner. And then we hit midlife and something changes. It's like we become teenagers, you know, in 50-year-old bodies. And it's really, really hard. Like we worry about what people think again. And we kind of try to, we don't even know what our voice is anymore. It seems because we've had so many long-term habits, because we've done things the way we've done them for so long, and we've had habitual routines. And so how do you encourage women to find their own voice?
Yeah. So a couple ways. One is, I think you do, and I have a bigger one in a minute, but I think you do really have to take time to, you know, get a notebook, a piece of paper, or it could be on your computer, and ask yourself some questions, right? What do you really want in life? And be honest, because a lot of us don't even know. I mean, a lot of women actually say, well, I don't know, because we've not allowed ourselves to either dream, or we've not allowed ourselves
right.
to believe we can have what's secretly in our minds. We're afraid to say it out loud, especially yes. to someone else. But if we're by ourselves, we have to be brave enough to write down, what are those things? And sometimes it's easier, instead of trying to write one down, write down 10, 20, 30. And they can be little things, big things. You know, like one of my things is that my next house, because we've been in this house our whole marriage, has to be on the water, right? Like that's what I want. My husband doesn't care as much, but it's my goal. It's on my list, right? And for some people that
right.
might seem, but for me, I love being on the water. So that's just an example of one thing. That's not like my big, big dream, but anyway, so then writing down things like, what do you dream of? What do you want to change? And where do you feel stagnant or stuck? So get real, get honest with some questions. And then have that as kind of like a jumping off point. But here's the real thing about finding your voice that I find. You have to start getting to know yourself, and you have to start dating yourself. And I'll explain what I mean by that. I remember even in college, and I waited tables at a restaurant, and I remember I worked a double, like morning and lunchtime shift. So I remember it was the first time. So I don't know if I was 17. I don't know how old I was, but I went to an actual sit down restaurant where you wait for the hostess. And I went and ate at a table by myself. Now I'm one of five kids. There was always people around. So this was not something that a 18-year-old I would have been familiar with, right? I had a lot of friends. So I always had people to do stuff with. So I remember doing that. And then over the years, maybe I'd be at a conference where it wasn't where I knew a lot of people. It was a new conference, like I just wanted to go. And I would sit at the bar and I would get my, I'd bring a book and I'd eat at the, up at the bar. And then I even went to the movies by myself when I was out of town for. But I remember thinking like, okay, this feels so good once I did it. Once I got past the fear of like, this is so weird. I don't know. I was like, oh, look, I can do this by myself. And but then what I found is I enjoy shopping by myself more than going with other people. And I don't mean out to lunch and things like that. I enjoy going out to lunch with
I
because here's why. When I shop with other people, I feel like I can be influenced, not always, but by their opinions. Like if I
know.
had two shirts, my three girlfriends might be like, oh, I love that one, but it might not be the right one for me. And so I've just found that if we spend some time with ourselves, we start to get to know ourselves. Like, what do I want? Do I want to go get ice cream right now or do I want to go get a coffee? So I think sometimes you just need to do things by yourself because you start to actually listen to yourself before you're trying to then say it to other people. And I think it's very powerful.
I think it is powerful. And I think now for our single ladies in the audience, they're used to doing things by themselves and often looking for, friendship to call
Yes.
them in. But I think often if you're married and have kids and that lifestyle is surrounding you all the time, that you do need to get away by yourself to figure out what you want. Because I know when I was raising my kids, I felt like I didn't even know what I wanted. I didn't even know what food I liked. I was so used to cooking what everyone else liked and facilitating their likes and dislikes that I didn't even know what I truly wanted or enjoyed anymore. We could never decide on what restaurant to go to. My husband would say, "Where do you want to eat?" I don't know. Was a standard answer.
Well, and so interesting. One of the guests I had on, her name is Karen Laos, and she's a communication expert, but she helps women have confidence. And so one of the things, the little tip that she gave that I remembered is she said, if women want to be more confident in speaking, whether it's in a boardroom or, like what where they want to go to eat or whatever, she said, here is a tip. Use these three words before whatever you say. Here's my vote. Because sometimes we're like, well, I don't know. I'm not sure. Or even when we start a sentence, sometimes even in a place where we should have authority, we say something like, well, excuse me, I'm sort of thinking, or we kind of downplay what we're saying. It
Downplay.
doesn't have authority. So she says, either use that little phrase, here's my vote, or come up with your own. But that way you always know you start off, even if your husband asks you, what about dinner or a friend? Well, here's my vote. I would really love Mexican tonight. It doesn't mean we're saying we're discounting their opinion, we're just saying what our opinion is. And
I
so I
think
thought
that's
that
a
was a
great
really
idea.
smart idea.
That's a great idea because we do give our power away and we do give our voice away by not owning our voice
Yes.
because we want to please other people. That's a conversation for a whole nother podcast. But we do give away our power and confidence even when we don't own our own voice in even our hopes and dreams and what how we want to live our life. That's why I wanted to have this conversation because I think it's so important. Well, I know you have two podcasts. You want to tell us a little bit about each one of those, just so the audience has an idea what you're doing?
Sure. Well, Faith-Filled Woman is basically just about a place you can come. It's, primarily for Christian women because, that is the angle, but of course anyone's welcome. And we just have conversations about like how can we just step into life and step into everything God has for us and how can we be encouraged, just in all the different parts of our life, but also in our faith life. And so that's what that one's for. It's both, sometimes it's me coming on and talking, and other times I have guests on, and we talk about all different topics, from our faith lives to our health, into mindset. So it's a broad stroke. And then building a life you love, similar in the format, but the main difference is just that we don't talk as much about faith, although faith is definitely woven in there. And so it's a little bit more for a wider audience, if you will. And so basically it's just about how do we design lives we love? How do we step out of our lives of feeling like we're stuck in obligation and expectation, like many of us in midlife do, and how do we actually step into all that's really sitting there waiting for us if we have the courage to go after it.
That's awesome. And I will tell you that you can, ladies, you can find this either of those podcasts anywhere where you listen to podcasts. Again, with Kristen Fitch is her name. And I would like you to tell us a little bit more about where we can find you online. And also, I think you have a resource for the audience that they can find.
I do. And actually, I just want to share one quote with you real quick about our
Please.
conversation today, and then I'll share that with you. And so the quote's by Pastor Carolyn Haas of Substance Church, but she said, "Your comfort zone is the greatest enemy of God's miracle zone." And I thought that that was so good.
That's
and
awesome.
She also then goes on to say that our greatest enemy to our joy is our comfort zone. And so I just wanted to share that with you because I think it's a good reminder that if we're willing and if we're able to start practicing getting out of our comfort zone and finding our voice, that we will continue to step into more of, you know, what's meant for us. And so I just thought that was such a lovely, lovely quote.
Absolutely. It is beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
Sure.
And now tell us where we can find you online and what resource you have for the audience.
Absolutely. So if you're on social, the best place to find me is Instagram. I'm just at Kristen Fitch. And everything else you can get to from my website, which is kristenfitch.com. And yes, I do have a freebie for you guys. It's at kristenfitch.com/midlife. All together. And it's basically a 7 days of encouragement series that where I'll walk with you and give you tips, real quick exercises you can do on your own at any time of day, and just encouragement, a little bit of quotes and a little bit of scripture in there. So it's just to really lift you up and kind of get you excited to step into your day and thinking about some new things.
That's wonderful, Kristen. Thank you so much for being our guest today. We so appreciate having you.
Oh, thank you so much, Debbie. I loved it. And I hope it encourages some of your listeners.
It certainly will.
It's time for Chick Chat.
This is the segment of the show where some weeks I'll be answering your questions. Other times, I'll be inviting a girlfriend on for a little coffee talk and reflection about midlife, of course. And some days, like today, I'll be giving you a little straight talk from my heart to encourage you. So we've been talking today about finding your voice and finding courage midlife for your goals and dreams. I know some of you might be thinking you are too old or too much time has passed for pursuing what you love. I know because I thought that too. Recently, though, I read an article that stated that 80% of Forbes' top 100 most powerful women for 2023 worldwide were over the age of 50. 80%! Now, let me give you a little historical inspiration. Did you know? Julia Child released her first cookbook at age 49 and got her own cooking show at age 51. Vera Wang failed to make the Olympic figure skating team. I didn't even know she was a figure skater. She failed to get the editor-in-chief position at Vogue, yet designed her first dress at age 40. And this is my favorite. Grandma Moses started painting in her late 70s and sold her first painting at age 78. She later wrote her own autobiography. She died in 1961 at 101 years of age. At that time, her painting sold for $10,000. And that was the 1960s. And now some are worth hundreds of thousands of dollars. Whatever your dream is, it's not too late to achieve it, even though now it may look different than when you first imagined it. But never tell yourself you're too old or missed the chance or you're not good enough. This week, I want to encourage you to take some time, maybe an hour or so, by yourself to really think about your dreams, what they were, how they've changed, and what they are now. Be honest with yourself about your disappointments. We all have them. You do, I do. Allow yourself to honestly sit in the lament of that and then let it go. Because then I want you to give yourself permission to dream again. Make space for it. Be honest about your current dreams and desires. You are allowed to want what you want. Sometimes we women forget this. But no matter where you are right now, your future is brimming with possibility. You can do this. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Kristen. She's a delightful human and a great coach. Be sure to check out her 7-day midlife encouragement series. Again, it's available as a free resource for you at kristenfitch.com. chickchat.com/midlife. Next week on the podcast, we are discussing our changing capacity midlife and how we need to adjust a little bit. It's mental health counselor and coach, Melanie Eddy. If you haven't subscribed yet, please do so so you don't miss this episode. And if you like the show, I have two asks of you. Please leave a review wherever you're listening. It really helps other women find the show. And please tell a midlife female friend about it so we can all go on this midlife journey together. Thanks for tuning in today. And remember, midlife is just a brand new season to find your passion and purpose for your grand finale. Talk next week.